Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thou that inhabited the faces of thy people. Lord, we thank thee, O Lord, as you have said that we never leave thee nor forsake thee. Say, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. Lord, we thank thee, Father, we worship you, Lord, you know, our helper. Lord, the strength of our life. Lord, we thank thee. Because I live, he said, he shall live also. Thank you for giving unto us this eternal life. And we know by your word we shall never perish. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, shall never come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. Lord, we thank thee, O Lord. Now are we the sons of God. Not when he comes right now. Are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Ephesians says, we change our vile body and will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That in all things we will be like him when he appears. So we thank you this morning. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Father. And we commit, O God, at this part of the service in your hand, Lord. The scripture says the entrance to your word, he giveth light. The scripture, the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, he that followeth me shall never walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. Lord, thank you, Father, for your word that we read this morning. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. The scripture says that whatever were written aforetime, they are written for our admonition and for our comfort, that we through the scriptures may have hope, the Bible says. So this morning I want to talk about prevailing prayer in the Bible. Since prayer is the lifeline of the child of God, and our Lord Jesus Christ showed many, many examples. In fact, it was when he had finished praying in one place that he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Then he gave the Lord's Prayer, the Master's Prayer, and that encompasses all things that any man will ever need. If they know how to pray, it's right, really, So, and he picked on the Bible, prevailing prayer. How to begin for a man, when his name was called Jacob, and see what prevailing prayer did for him in his life. He was loved of his mother. And, of course, he was a twin to another one called Esau. And the Bible says that, his mother Rebecca loved him. Look at Rebecca had the mind of God. Because somewhere in the scripture says that, God said, Esau have I hated her, and Jacob have I loved. So look at how the mind of God, isn't it? Whereas Isaac loved Esau, because Esau was said to be a cunning hunter. Like we say, he was a cunning hunter. And when he go to hunt, he will bring all kind of meat and so forth to Isaac, so he loved him for that. Looks like Rebecca had the mind of God and so on. He loved and he loved Jacob and so forth. So Genesis 25, about 38 verse. So I just give a beginning of these two twins and so forth and what happened in the end. Verse 30 says, and he went hunting and everything like that. And one day he went hunting, and of course Jacob was said to be a playman. That's what the Bible says in Genesis 25. He was a playman. Anyway, so let's see what happened to the two of them and what happened to this man called Esau in 38 verse of Genesis 25. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, send me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swear unto him, and his soul is birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What a calamity that was, you know. Just for later on in the book of Hebrews, I believe, Bible called him a profane man, who for just, you know, for pottage, sold his birthright. No wonder that his mother, Rebecca just loved Jacob as a predestination. Even God himself said, while they were still in the womb, these two children, having never knowing good of evil, the Bible said, Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. So predestination kicked in India. So I didn't know the value of a birthright, right? And no wonder. Anyway, so let's continue the story, and I get to my subject, India, prevailing prayer and so forth. Genesis 27, 36 verse. Now time has come when their father Isaac had to go and be with the Lord, and he had to proclaim the patriarchal blessing, they call it. He loved Israel, right? Because he is the oldest by virtue of whatever, he told the birthright anyway. So to be told the patriarchal blessing on Israel, and we know the story, what we're going through, all of his story. And Rebecca got to know about it and so forth, and tricked Isaac to bestow that blessing upon Jacob, you know. So and here is what Esau said in Genesis 27:36. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me. He's called a supplanter, you know. Jacob is called a supplanter, right? He has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. He forgot that he stole it, right? He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. 41 verse 6. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, does comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Aram, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from them. So, but now, he said a few days, right? But we know in the scripture, if you read it thorough, it took 20 whole years after Jacob went to Laban. 20 years. He was working for Laban, you know, his mother's brother and things like that, you know. Wanted to marry Rachel. You know the story in India, you know. And they trick him again. The trick he played on Isaac, now it's being played back onto him when he gets to Padan Aram. Laban tricked him. We don't give the younger before the older, so they trick him on the wedding night. Get him there, you know. Oh, you know what? Rachel is what I know, is the one I love. I will do another 7 years and so on. In those days, they marry many wives, they are allowed, at that time and so on. So he did that. Not only that, another trick came on him. Laban changed his wages about 10 times, he said, in one place and so on, you know. So the trick he played, you know, was coming back onto him too, you know. Anyway, it took about 20 years. What Rebecca thought with a few days, right? It took about 20 years. And the Lord told him, Go now, take your wife and your children. Go back, go back home and things like that, you know. Anyway, so now I'm going to enter my story about prevailing prayer. So when Jacob now returned from Padan Aram, 20 years later, he was confronted with the most serious crisis of his life. 20 years, Esau was still holding the grudge. Even forgive him, you know. Rebecca said that after a few days, Esau will forgive. No, 20 years has passed. He didn't forgive and so on and that, you know. So near home now, you know, the greater crisis of his life. His unsavory deeds with his brother Esau had brought bitter hostility. Like I quickly said to you before, Jacob was told that Esau was on his way to meet him with 400 men of war. It seemed Esau was on an expedition of revenge, of course. Jacob knew that he had not the slightest chance of defending himself against such a force. Even trying to appease Esau, he sent several droves of cattle ahead, hoping against hope that Esau might be appeased by these gifts. Now jump to Genesis 22, to enter the call of God. I'm talking about prevailing prayer, right? And he rose up that night, meaning Jacob, you know, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons. At that time, Benjamin hadn't been born yet, you know, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had, all that he had, right? And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou blessed me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Talking about prevailing prayer, right? And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. So what do we learn from this scripture about prevailing prayer? So, as the narration stated, anticipating the blow to strike from Esau, Jacob divided his company into two groups. That way he thought, if one group is destroyed by Esau, the other group will be saved, you know, or will escape rather. So in the spirit of desperation, Jacob poured out his soul to God for deliverance. Well, the Bible calls it a man, yes, it is a man, but from all we can gather together in the scripture, some call it an angel. But when I see what happened in verse 30, he said, "I have seen God face to face." It was a theophany, actually. God in the place. Because verse 30 says that Jacob said, he called the place Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face." He called him man one place, right? But he knew it was God. It was God. "And my life is preserved," he said. Anyway, so we see. So in the darkness of the night, he crossed over to that other side of the river and of the brook Jabbok, and there he had the experience of wrestling. We call him my man or angel, like I said, wrestling with God, I will say. The details of his struggle contain some important lessons that I want to bring out, you know, about prevailing prayer. Number one, 24th verse of Genesis 32 says, and Jacob was left alone. That's a secret, you know, in spiritual warfare, really, you know. This our Lord teach us, when you are praying, don't be like the Pharisees, right? That pray in the, you know, in the temple and the marketplaces, that they might be seen of men, that you have their reward. But thou, when you want to pray, go into your closet and shut your door after the right, thy God, whom you seek in secret, the Lord says, shall reward thee openly. So one of the secrets of spiritual warfare, to get along with God. When you have a spiritual warfare, it's better to get along with God and so on. So great spiritual crises are resolved when a man or woman gets along with God. So the crisis of his life, are 400 men, how many of them? What, you know, he's going to be destroyed, you know, and so all of his household. What greater crisis can that be? So with lying in secret, yeah, get along with God. When you are getting a spiritual crisis, the Lord taught us the same lesson, you know. Some people give up too soon. Don't be like that, you know. You pray one time, and from that, you know, something seem, I call it seem, nothing to be happening, right? Don't give up, no. Be persistent, you know, and something like that, you know. Some people give up too soon and allow themselves to be crushed. Don't be like that. Others, of course, like be like this one. Rise to the challenger and lay hold of God's promises, knowing that man's extremity is God's opportunity. You know, when you cut it, Bible says they cut to their wit's end in the book of Psalms. And they cry unto the Lord. You have done all you know how to do. See? And it came, they were who do business on the ISIS, the psalmist said, and there came a mighty wave, raised them up like this, and dropped again. And the Bible said they were just, don't know what to do again. And, you know, and it came to their wit's end. And the Bible said, and they called upon the Lord, and he delivered them, and bring them to their wish and to their desired haven. The Bible said that here. He will do the same thing for you. Don't give up too soon on what you are believing God for. You pray one time, see that nothing is happening. No, if you are praying according to God's will, it will surely come to pass. Surely come to pass. You know? So be like those who rise to the challenge and lay hold on God's promises, knowing that man's extremity is God's opportunity to bless you. So that what happened to Jacob, yeah? Another thing is this. So the same 32, Genesis 24, second part. And they arrested a man with him until the breaking of day. So what do we learn here? Here we consider one of the mysteries of prayer. Jacob wrestled, you know, with this heavenly being. I call him God, you know. Or should we say Theophany, you know, as the rest of the Bible or scripture tell us and so on. He was not, now, is it just wrestling like the wrestler we see on TV? This is a spiritual wrestling. Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. Can it be spiritual wrestling, you know? And, so it cannot be the type we see on the TV and so on. After all, you know, how can it be physical wrestling? For who could out-wrestle an angel of God? Who can do that? Who can do that? So it was a spiritual battle. All night he struggled in an agony of spirit. Jacob did, you know. Now alone with God and so on, wrestle with him. So experienced intercessors can identify with this kind of thing happening and so forth, that, you know. We also know that to prevail with men, we must first of all prevail with God. Now, when you have a battle with man, go to God first. When you prevail with God, then you will prevail with man. So when Jacob prevailed with God, he prevailed with Esau, as the end story told us, you know. So don't begin to fret when you know, and things like that, you know. You go to God first and so forth, that, you know. Now, we know that in prevailing prayer, you know, with God, there is a price to pay too, you know. What happened to his, to Jacob? He touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, we are told, as he wrestled with him. So in the natural, Jacob want now, even less able now. But if you want to, you know, less able to flee from Esau, even if you want to do it now, you know, his tie was out of joint now, right? You know, so he's even less able to run away from Esau. But we know at the end of the story, he did not have to even flee at all, you know, as he stayed with God in prayer. Now, finally, Jacob said, I will not let thee go. Determination now. I will not let you go. Are you determined? Or are you learning to give up on that prayer because it's taking some time in your own measurement of time? There is no time with God, you know. Jesus taught us a great lesson on prayer. When you pray, believe that you receive. Then you shall have it. That is the divine order. It's irreversible. If you reverse it, meaning you want to cut the first thing before you believe, then it's no God divine, you know. So anyway, so I will not let thee go, Jacob said, except thou bless me. I just need to be blessed, you know. Another lesson is this. It was God who told him to leave Padan Aram and go back home, right? So many times God will say to do something. It doesn't mean you won't find obstacles in the process of doing God's will. Most of the time, because you encounter trouble, even doing God's will. But the God who told you to do that thing, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you pass through the fire, he'll be right there with you. You pass through the water, he'll be right there with you. So, obedience, better than sacrifice, really, you know. One man called Saul, Lamb in the Bible, he was told, you know, and some of that, you know. So anyway, so he said, I will not let you go, I let you bless me. So the angel said, thy name. So anyway, and Jacob prevailed with God, right? And the angel, you know, the Lord said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Look at the blessing now. But Israel, for as a prince, hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, like I said before, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So you see how he prevailed? He's determined. I won't let you go until you bless me. When you have seen the promise of God, hold to it and so on. So prevailing prayer. In a man that is called a supplanter, a man, you know, that is called just a plain man and so forth, God changed him, you know, because, he stood in prayer with God and they won't let God go. So later, when Jacob met Esau, what happened to them? The rest of the story. And his 400 men, instead of fleeing, he fell into, you know, Esau's arms. And both of them wept in a beautiful spirit of reconciliation. Why? Because behind the scenes, the darkness of the night, he was alone with God. He prevailed with God, so he prevailed with Esau too. Let us learn this lesson. Don't be scared of anything. When you are in the will of God, when you face difficulties, it doesn't mean you are after the will of God. Even most of the time, it's because you are in the will of God. It's when you are in the will of God, since I will tell you many times, you are in the heart of the will of God. Don't listen to him. Listen to the word of God. You see? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's take another one in the Bible. Prevailing prayer in the Bible and so forth. There was a man called Moses. The Bible called him the meekest man. He was so meek and so on like that, you know. And, outside of Christ, I think he's the most meekest one. Meekest outside of Christ. And it was a man who, by prevailing prayer, saved a whole nation. Moses was, you know. He was a man of God. And he reached his greatest stature or stature with his intercessory prayer. See? Now, we see one man making prevailing prayer for himself. Here we have caught another person making prevailing prayer for a nation. So you go for both your prayer, making for yourself, or for others, or for the nations, and something like that, you know. So his intercession spared the life of 2 million people in the wilderness. Yeah, Moses prevailing prayer did. While Moses was on the mountain with God, the children of Israel had committed the sin of worshipping the golden calf. You all know the story? No, God told Moses to turn aside so he could destroy these stiff-necked people that has turned so quickly from him to idols. That is Exodus 32, the 9th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was rehearsing the wilderness journey of the children of Israel in witnessing to those Jews, he refers to that same word. You seek that people, you always receive the Holy Ghost, he said. And for that, they stoned him, right? For telling the truth, just by the side way, anyway. You know, so, and, you know, so, now, verse 10. Now, therefore, let me alone, the Lord said, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation, a carnal man, an unspiritual person will be happy at that time. Well, at that, out of me will come a great nation, you know. But not Moses, you know. He had in many ways he was a type of Christ, really. In many ways he was a type of Christ, compassion and so on, that, you know. So here is what Moses said, and you know, and Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against? This is Exodus 32 that I'm reading from, against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. So you see the heart of Moses, always kind. Revenge is the last thing for him, I mean for him. Even when his own sister and brother at one time, does God only speak by Moses? Am I not a prophetess also? You know, and because of that, you know, God caused leprosy to be upon Moses' sister. No one Moses did in Numbers chapter 14, I believe it is. I say, Lord, heal her, I beseech thee. One of the shortest prayers in the Bible, and it was answered right there. Leprosy was healed. But God gave her a little punishment. Let her be out of the camp for 7 days, right? Anyways, look at the heart of Moses, compassion and so forth. Not only for her sister, no, our brother, even for the nation, you know, and so that, you know. So anyway, so, and Moses realized the full extent of Israel's sin, quite all right. He had witnessed their orgy of licentious worship, even to the shameless dancing in the nude, right there, in the open. If you read the book of Exodus properly, I don't have enough time to go and read that part of the scripture. Nevertheless, he spent 40 days and night on the mountain in intercession, talking about prevailing prayer, right? Beseeching God to forgive Israel. If God was not going to forgive Israel, Moses said, Moses wanted his name blotted from the book that God had written. That is in Exodus 32:32. He said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, he said, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So you see, his compassionate heart and so forth, 40 days and so on, stood upon the mountain before God in prevailing prayer. Not 2 days, not 3 days, 40 old days, and that he was there. And God heard Moses' prayer and promised to spare the children of Israel. Prevailing prayer. Could be for yourself, like Jacob, could be for the nation, you know, and so on, that you know, or anybody I thought that you care for. More than that, he promised that his presence will now go with them. That is Exodus 33 verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That is, you can care for yourself today. The Bible says, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. It could be Old Testament, it's all the word of God. We've shown many times here, from Genesis to Revelation, you can almost see Christ in every page. The testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. And Moses himself typecast in so many ways. Many ways and so on, that, you know, we can't be even that is a different subject on its own and so forth, that, you know. Anyway, verse 15 says, so when you want to do something, take God's presence. Jesus said, I'm with you always, right? The same one, you know. So anyway, verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not off then. Oh, Moses knew very well that without God he could do nothing. John chapter 15, the Lord told us, without me, you can do nothing. He knew that by the Spirit of God. If you don't go with us, don't just carry us thither, you know. What a lesson. Don't go ahead of God, commit that way unto the Lord, really, you know. Everything you want to do. The Bible says, in all that you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus to assure success, you know. That's what the Bible teaches us and so forth. Even the Lord himself said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. The Bible says, a perfect example. You can get out of many troubles and so on like that, you know, by letting the Lord lead us. Seek him forth, you know, and so on like that, you know, and he will guide you and he will lead you, you know. We are taught. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Don't put things ahead of God. Commit our way unto the Lord all the time. There will be peace and joy unto you. Now, this is the power of intercessory prayer. A prayer born of unselfishness. You know, many people today, they are very selfish. Oh God, bless my husband or bless my wife. Bless my children and my family. That's it. You know, not Moses. You know, so are they, you know, a type of Christ, an intercessor. Don't you know that even now, the present day ministry of Jesus Christ is that of an intercessor? I believe in Hebrews 7:25. I don't have the scripture here. The Bible says that he is able to save us to the uttermost. That come unto God by him. Hebrews 7:25, I believe it is. Say that he ever lived to make intercession for them. And we are all encouraged. That's one ministry that every Christian can participate in, you know. Maybe you're called to be an evangelist. Maybe you're not called to be a prophet. And maybe you're not called to be a teacher. But a housewife can even be an intercessor. On your job, you can be an intercessor. We can all do that, you know. And what we talked about here not too long ago, the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, that intercessors, they have a great blessing and so are waiting for them. Anyway, so he pray in unselfish prayer, we spring forth from a love for the souls of men. That's how we have to be, right? And today, we suddenly need men and women who, like Moses, we intercede for the people. We are at the end time now, you know. And many Christians, you know, say that we should pray for all men. First, right here in our prayer meeting, almost every prayer meeting is just a subject. There are some prayers that will never go away until Christ comes. They will never be redundant. So that's 1 Timothy 2, the verse 1 to 3, 1 to 4, rather. They pray. The first of all, you know, prayer, before you even your own need, prayer and supplication for all men, for those who are in authority, that thou may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. You give us that command and so on. It should be your daily prayer too, because they are above every other prayer. Unselfish prayer, right? You know, then you come to your own need later. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, intercessors can move God to change destiny, like Moses did here and so on that, you know. So Moses changed Israel's fate and the course of history, and intercessors can move God to change destiny. Now, the reward is far-reaching for those who dare to be intercessors. Let's talk about Moses a little bit about this. Many, many rewards we know of already. For Moses, he had some very unusual experiences while on Mount Sinai. His body has received a remarkable quickening of divine power, so that his face shone with heavenly glory. Even the epistle refers to it, talking about the law that was done away, so that the children of Israel could not even behold Moses' face by reason of the glory. Even that which was done away, how much more now? This great law will stand right now. Anyway, so unusual, and also his face shone and so on like that, you know, remarkable quickening power, so that his face shone with heavenly glory. From that time forward, talking about some of the rewards that this man got, you know, being a great intercessor and so on, it appears that Moses did not experience the natural deterioration of age. For we are told in Deuteronomy 34, the 7th verse, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Stop picking this woman and see, I believe, as a result of, you know, be an intercessor and so on, that, you know, to encourage every one of us to join Christ in his present day ministry. Not, and God did for Moses something that he has never been known to do for any man before. Not since. What was it? God performed a funeral. Can you imagine that? God performed a funeral. No? Yes. God himself buried at the body of his servant Moses. You know, in Deuteronomy 34 verse 6 says, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this very day. See? The intercessor, right? You know, so we know. Other scripture even indicate that God afterward raised him from the dead with Moses retaining a physical body. Not a glorified body, because nobody could be glorified until Christ raised from the dead, right? I believe he was raised from the dead, you know, with his own physical body. We are told in Jude 1:9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a living accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. How can Michael, if God didn't raise Moses from the dead, will Michael be struggling with the devil over a dead body of Moses? Never. Not really. We believe, after a few days, before the resurrection sets in between the line of scripture now, I can't tell you what verse it is, but in between the line, that God raised him up before the resurrection sets in. He could not be glorified like he raised up, he made Lazarus, since that, you know. So we know that, so that he raised him for the dead before, you know, because now God buried him himself. If, why? Because as it done in those days, you know, if he leave the body of Moses to the hand of the, you know, the Israelites there, they will embalm him, right? Like did Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, they will embalm him and mourn for him 30 days, you know, and then how can God raise him up again? That's why God himself, I believe, you know, how to bury, you know, did the funeral for Moses, and we believe 3 days later, not 3 days later, he raised him up and so forth. For we see, you know, at the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke chapter 9, 31, but I believe it is, Bible says he appeared with Elijah and Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration with the same body. Did they recognize him? Because, Peter says, now that we are here, three of us, let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. How did they recognize Elijah? I mean Moses, and so on, that, you know, the same body that God buried was raised up, and so forth, that, you know. So you see, you know, look at this. Here they think that this man, a great intercessor, you know, God out of his own ministry, and so forth. And we believe from other scriptures that he will be one of the two based on what the Bible says in Revelation 11 about the two witnesses. See, I will give power unto my two witnesses, Revelation 11, and they will prophesy 360 days, right? 3.5 years, I'm talking about, you know. And for the description of the two witnesses, we know Moses is one of them. We know from what was described and so forth, you know. So anyway, so we see what blessing, you know, that man got, I believe, because of the ministry of intercession. Just encourage us, if you're already in it, don't give up now. Prevailing prayer life until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. So anyway, so let's get one more. Let me get one more. There are many of them in the Bible, prevailing prayer. So he prevailed, he didn't give up. 40 days he was there on the mountain, you know, and so on, like that, you know. And look at the great reward and so on. Save the nation from destruction. Another man in the Bible, Daniel, he was called greatly beloved. What a great intercessor he was. You know, and prevailing prayer mark him as one of his characteristics and so on, that, you know. Now, the story of Daniel contains a most enlightening lesson on the art of prayer. Daniel's life spanned a century of time, almost. You see, another thing about, you know, people intercede, they live long. Abraham lived long as an intercessor. Look at Moses, 120 years old. His natural body was not abated, now his eyes grow dim. So Daniel's lifespan is about 100 years according to historical recording and Bible recording of time. So
So Daniel's life spanned a century of time. When divine judgments were being poured out, nations were being overturned, and kingdoms were rising and falling. In fact, you know, interpreting his dream of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and so on, he named the four Gentile kingdoms that shall be upon the face of the earth. And he himself witnessed the transition from war, from Babylon to the Medo-Persian Empire. He was there. He interpreted his dream to me. I'm going to see, you know, four kingdoms: Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. You know, he did ask that by prophetic revelation of the dream and so forth. He was there in Daniel chapter 5 when Babylon fell, in the time of Belshazzar, you know. That's not that. So he was there. Kings were falling and rising, but Daniel remained a great intercessor and so on, that, you know. Anyway, yes, Daniel, the prophet, not only lived a spotless life, we have nothing whatsoever record against Daniel, like Joseph of old. We have nothing written against them at all, you know. Anyway, a spotless life, but through prayer, was able to alter the destiny of nations. It is. Daniel's prayers resulted in the conversion of the most powerful monarch in the world. I told you Nebuchadnezzar was his name. This is the man, wicked as he was. You know, this is the man, the king, when God allowed it, burn Jerusalem down, throw down the walls and so forth. Take his children of the, you know, made them captive, bring them to Babylon to come and build his empire for him. Then can you see how wicked he was? Oh, Daniel's prayer, bring that man back to God. Eventually, he gave one of the greatest testimony of all time in the Bible and testified for God, the Jehovah, you know, of the Israelites and so forth. Why? One man, you know how to pray, you know, a prevailing prayer answer. He didn't give up on Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't even argue so much about his own God and so on, you know. Anyway, so Daniel lived in the secret place of the Most High, like the psalmist said in 91. Once, when he was thrown, into a lion's, a den of lions, you know the story, God sent an angel and shut the mouth of the beast so that he suffered no harm, we know. And there are many wonderful deliverances recorded in the book of Daniel too, you know, and so on, because this man knew how to pray. And not just know how to pray, you know, he knew how to, you know, about prevailing prayer, you know. God revealed to Daniel that the Messiah was coming, but that he will be cut off and desolations will come upon the people of Israel. That is in Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27, which won't go right there. On one occasion, when Daniel prayed, God sent an angel on the very first day he began waiting on God. Here is the call of what I'm talking about now, prevailing prayer, right? Here is where I want to talk about that one, in Daniel's life and so forth. So now, the very first day that he begins to pray, God sent an angel. And this is a revelation, what happened in the spiritual world that you and I are in today, you know. Nothing has changed, you know, by the spiritual world, so to say, you know. On the very first day, God sent an angel. But the angel was unable to reach Daniel. For a full 3 weeks, we were told, the hindrance is plainly revealed. The Bible tells us, the prince of Persia, that opposed the angel's mission was one of Satan's chief lieutenants, you know. So, and we know Satan has this ministry over almost every nation. How do we know? Not only over Persia. The angel said, now I go, the prince of Grecia. I deal with the Persian, you know, Satan's upon him, and now that's also the Grecian, how to deal with that one also, you know. Telling us what is happening in the spiritual world. Satan has his hierarchy and set them upon him. That's why we pray all the time for those who are in authority. Don't pray for them, those satanic hierarchies up there in the heavenly place and so on. They will manipulate this leader and they will turn the nations to whatever they wanted. But why is still letting, because of your prayer and so on, like that time, God will see, you know, about all those things they would have been doing and so forth. Anyway, like he did for Daniel and so on. So anyway, so we see. So the real power that controlled this nation was not its human ruler, you know, no, but an invisible prince of darkness that influenced and controlled the actions of people who were not fully subject to God. Bible says those the chain of disobedience, right? He controlled them today and some of that, you know. The prophet Daniel was in the habit of getting his prayers answered. Although this time around, no answer seemed to come. That's why we come in prevailing prayer. Sometimes you pray some prayer, right here, the apple, you know. So, but at a certain time, like Daniel, in this case now, take 3 full weeks and some of that, you know. But Daniel will not give up. You see, that is the lesson, prevailing prayer, right? He won't give up. For 3 weeks, he prayed and fasted. Then on the 24th day, an angel from God, look at angels are always appearing when you prevail in prayer. You may not see them, he's knowing it anyway, but you look at it. They appear to Jacob, maybe God himself and all that, you know. So anyway, so an angel appeared and all that, you know, in his room. An angel appeared there and so on. According to the celestial messenger, Daniel's prayer had been heard on the fourth day. Isn't the lesson the Lord taught us? When you pray, believe that you receive it, right? And you shall have it, right? The same truth, the same God, right? So let us learn this lesson. So we, our prayer life will be more, you know, more of a joyful thing. Instead of being a chore, it will be a delight. Your prayer will be a delight when you pray, instead of being a chore. I know that's a blessing in India, like I said before. Anyway, so, and so we see. So then, on the 24th day, an angel appeared in his room and so forth. According to the special messenger, Daniel's prayer had been asked on the fourth day. And the angel had been said to him, but the prince of Persia has withstood him in the old time. In Daniel 10:12, is where I'm talking from actually. Daniel 10:12, through about 13, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the fourth day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy word to thy heart, and I am come for thy word, the angel said. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Showing us there what happened in the spiritual world. When your prayer seems to be delayed, don't give up. Don't do so. Much more so when you know you are praying according to the will of God. Stay right there with God. In prayer warfare, we battle not against flesh and blood. The New Testament reveals to us now. It gave us more insight what is happening in the spiritual world. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we are given more light about what happened in the spiritual world. We are told, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Daniel encountered death, but he stood his ground, you know, and he won. You can win every of those battles because the Lord is on your side. But if you give up, that's nothing the Lord can do, right? You know, because if I give you $100 or something like that, you know, I don't know how much to say that. If you don't use it or stay with it, then what can I do? You know, so anyway, so prevailing prayer will give you results. God is never without resources anyway. Satan will run out of resources, I tell you right now. He will run out of resources, but not God. God will send reinforcements, you know, and some of that, you know. So God is never without resources. And because of Daniel's continued prayer, reinforcements that ensure the defeat of Satan finally arrived. What would have happened if Daniel had given up? See? Maybe around the fourth week. I don't know what is happening here. Or second week and so on. What would have happened? But he continued. See? Prevailing prayer in the Bible. Written for your admonition and for our example. Obviously, if he gave up, the prophet would not have been present to receive the answer that he was looking for. So today, we pray that there are many more Daniels. That God will make us that type of life of Daniel and so on, or maybe of presence. Let me give one man, I'm going to be closing here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Elijah, another man, according to prevailing prayer, you know, he ended a drought, changed the nation, so much so that in the New Testament, we are told in James 5:17, Elias, that means Elijah, was a man subject to like passion as we are, so don't classify him as his own class. Just a man like you and I. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, talking about persistence and prevailing prayer, right? And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Without going through the gory details of his ministry and so forth, in 1 Kings 18:41, we read, and Elijah said unto Ahab, that, no, Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. What was he talking about? Around this time, it had not called for a drought, right? Elijah did. It had not rained for 3 years and 6 months. And according to the law of averages, look at this for yourself. The odds were heavily against rain within the next few hours, because the Maccabees showed that he has just called fire down from heaven and so forth, and there are all of those things, and turned the heart of the nation back to Jehovah, you know. So the heart of Israel, oh, the Lord, he is God. He challenged them. His bear is God. Serve him now. How long are you going to be two opinions, right? He said about Maccabees. How long are you going to be? If God is God, serve him. And when the fire fell, oh, the Lord, he is God. He has won the heart of Israel from there to God. Anyway, so now, on top of that, I will cut off the drought. Because God has told him that he will step on the rain and some of that, you know. So then he told Ahab, now, rain will come and so forth after 3.5 years. What are the odds? Well, so, but God has spoken. God has spoken, and that was enough for Elijah. You see? Doesn't matter what the odds look like. You know, when God has told you something, right? The odds mean nothing, no matter how stacked they are against you, you know. So anyway, so God, you know, that is what faith is all about. God says so and I believe it, right? I don't care. 3.5 years, and now in the next few hours are going to be late. Well, doesn't matter to Elijah, doesn't matter to you and I, because God has spoken. Because God told him, go and show yourself to little Ahab. See that what God told him, and I will send rain. That's where he based his faith on us, on that, you know. So anyway, nevertheless, Elijah honestly prayed. Prayer plays an essential part in the providence of God. Could he have done things without us? Absolutely. But in the providence of God, a great part. Elijah knew that rain will come, but he must claim it by the prayer of faith. Not even the prayer of faith, but persistent prayer, really, you know. He knew that there were evil powers that sought to resist God's will. He knew that. So he went back to Mount Carmel. You know, because, you know, first of all, he rode down with Ahab. He must run the chariot of Ahab down to Jezreel, you know, supernaturally and so forth, you know. Anyway, so he went back to Mount Carmel, when he had, you know, where he had already caught a fire from heaven, and through the 450 prophets of there, and the 400 of that, the prophets of the groups and all of that, you know. So there, Elijah fell down upon his face. And was in prayer, you know, a prayer meeting with God, I will say, you know. While Ahab went to be eating and be drinking, the man of God went back to Mount Carmel, fell down before his face, and began to, you know, have a prayer meeting with God Almighty. Then he sent his servant to look for rain 6 times. He came back and reported there was nothing. But he prevailed, continued to prevail in prayer, right? On the 7th time, he returned, saying that a cloud like a man's hand has risen out of the sea. Again, for Elijah, that was enough, right? That's enough. And 4 Kings 18:44-46. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare the chariot, and get it down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain out of the blue sky, out of the blazing sky. There was a great rain, not just a drop of rain, great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his loins and ran around before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So we see how prevailing. What if Elijah stopped at the fourth prayer? The servant come back, I don't see anything. What if he stopped at the second time when the servant came back and said, I saw nothing? What if he stopped at the sixth time? like Daniel of old. What if it's up on the 10th day? What could have happened, you know? Now, you see on our prevailing prayer in the Bible and so forth. We can keep going, but I think this is enough as a matter of 2 or 3 witnesses to embody us in prayer, to make your prayer a delight rather than a chore. And that you don't give up, you don't even give up on anything, you know? We count them happy that endure, right? Book of James said us, blessed be the name of the Lord. That prayer in your life, you have been waiting for so long and so forth. If it is God's will, it shall come to pass, said the Lord, without faith. Father, we thank you this morning. The Lord says, as he said, and we not do it. The Lord said, as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and watereth the heart, and maketh it, and watereth the heart, and make it to bud. And to give a seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that I have spoken. It shall not return to me void. It shall prosper in the thing which I said it. So Lord, we thank you this morning. The prayer of your children as we gather here this morning. It has seemed to be a delay. Delay doesn't mean denial. In the name of the Lord. God is saying, just be patient therefore, brother and sister. In the name of the Lord, it shall come to pass. All things whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it. And there's nothing to ask for the Lord. What is not possible with man is possible with God. With God, all things, ALN, I like the ALN, all things are possible with God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Matthew 17, by the 21st verse, then let's turn around. With you, nothing shall be impossible, as you say in your prevailing prayer and believing God. Even so, gratitude this morning, Lord, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. The outcome that we read this morning about all this testimony, let it become our own testimony too.
Amen.
In all the things that we are waiting and trusting God for, this is the day of salvation, not tomorrow.
Amen.
Now is the hour of salvation and deliverance.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For I watch over my watch of performance, hear the Lord. I know the thoughts I think about you, thought of peace, thought of evil. To give an expected end. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.